Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health, SIS and GCSB Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about the government calling out China on its cyber attacks, Cabinet's decision to allow terror suspect Suhaira Aden and her two children to return New Zealand from Turkey after crossing the border with Syria illegally, as well as financially backing health research. Here's the Minister. GCSB uncovered the recent cyber attacks is from China after a, quote, technical attribution process. So what is that, actually?
There's two aspects. First of all, when there is any cyber attack, a significant cyber attack in New Zealand, the National Cyber Security Centre, which is a division of the GCSB, is usually called upon to investigate to establish the source of the attack. Most of the cyber attacks we suffer in New Zealand come from offshore, requires a reasonably detailed technical investigation. So that is carried out, and most times the source of the attack, at least in terms of country, sometimes organisation, is able to be established. So that is established. Then there's another issue, which is about attribution. And particularly when a claim is being made that either another country, either through its own state apparatus or sheltering private operators, is the source of an attack, then there's a diplomatic question about, do you call out that country for either engaging in activity or protecting it? And because we know that cyber attacks in more recent years have emanated from China, and they're not the only country, there are other countries as well, and many other countries have been affected by cyber attacks emanating from China, there was then an agreement between countries who have been victims of those attacks to call that out. And that's just about, A, giving some publicity and transparency to the cyber attacks that are happening, and B, kind of using international influence and diplomatic influence to say, actually, to that particular country, in this case China, you've got to do something about this if you want to maintain your reputation as a credible partner for other countries around the world.
The GCSB said 30% of cyber attacks, foreign-based cyber attacks, are from state sponsors. How many percent out of that 30 is from China?
I couldn't tell you that. China is one country from which cyber attacks have been emanating. There are other countries too. Russia is another one, and Iran is another. North Korea is another. I mean, these are countries where, in some cases, there are state apparatus set up to conduct offensive strategies against usually private networks as well as other country state networks. But also, these are countries that protect or harbour private operators to conduct those cyber attacks as well. Either way, when that happens, countries like ours will hold those state governments to account for what they are doing or not doing to prevent cyber attacks.
So are you saying that China, Russia, North Korea or Iran could be paying private hackers to attack our internet infrastructure?
If not paying them, certainly knowing that it's happening and doing nothing about it, and therefore protecting, tacitly or otherwise, that behaviour.
Okay. You also said the China is behind the Microsoft Exchange attack earlier this year. So how did they do that?
There was a vulnerability in the software. There's with pretty much every software, the vulnerability had been identified and then was exploited. But worse, those responsible for the exploitation basically promoted and publicised it to other bad actors around the world, and so other bad actors got involved in trying to exploit the vulnerability until Microsoft patched it.
Well, the Chinese embassy said your comments are a quote unquote Cold War mentality. What do you think about that?
I disagree with that entirely. The reality is a very contemporary threat now to countries and organisations, both public and private, as cyber attacks and cyber offensive activity. That is just a reality. we would hope that state governments are not involved or not promoting it or encouraging it or not engaging in it. But the reality is, the evidence is that we are finding that the state governments are involved in one way or another, in which case that then has to be called out. So they can describe it as they wish. The fact is, cyber attacks are happening. They're emanating from countries like China, and there is a degree to which they are promoted, encouraged, supported, or in some cases carried out by state organisations.
Okay, moving on to my second topic of the day. It's about Cabinet approving Suharto Aden to return to New Zealand from Turkey. So by this decision, does Cabinet think she no longer poses a security risk to other New Zealanders?
Yeah, the decision that Cabinet made was not so much whether we should have her back. We don't have a choice about that. She only has one citizenship, and that is of New Zealand. She is detained by Turkish authorities, who have said she is now eligible for deportation and they will deport her. The question was the extent to which we manage that. And the decision of Cabinet was to agree to engage with Turkey on her repatriation and to make sure that all the things that needs to be done to keep her safe, travellers safe, and in the end, when she gets back here, the rest of New Zealand safe, all those steps are being taken.
Minister, but do you think New Zealand hands are tied on this issue? Because, well, we won't be in this situation if Australia hadn't unilaterally revoked her citizenship.
Yeah, well, we don't have a choice. She's a New Zealand citizen. She's been detained by another state who said she is going to be deported. There's only one place they can deport her to, and that is to New Zealand. There's nothing we can do about that. And you're right, she did have dual citizenship. Although she was born here and had the very early part of her life here, most of her life, she moved to Australia at the age of six, most of her life she lived in Australia before she went to Syria. But Syria passed a law that enabled them to unilaterally and without notice remove citizenship from a person, and Australia exercised that power. I think there is something deeply unprincipled and immoral and possibly even in breach of international law about what Australia has done, but they've done that. We're in a situation where we have a person who only has one form of citizenship, and that is New Zealand citizenship, and another part of the world who is going to be deported, and what we have to do then is manage that. And in the circumstances, because they're a person who carries some national security risk, we've got to make sure that her transport back here, and once she gets back, her existence here is one that keeps her safe and the rest of New Zealand safe, and that is why measures have to be put in place to enable that to happen.
Right, but on that, at the start of the year, you said Suharto Aden won't be detained on arrival, but could be subject to a terrorism suppression control order. Is that still looking the same so far?
Look, I can't comment on anything in relation to the control orders, because if there are orders, the existence of them tends to be suppressed by the courts. What I can say of Suharto Aden and anybody in her situation returning to New Zealand, that unless there is at least prima facie evidence of a crime having been committed either overseas or before having left, in this case New Zealand, then there are no grounds to detain her on her arrival back in New Zealand. So I'm not expecting that she will be detained on arrival back in New Zealand, but we do want to make sure that once she gets back here that appropriate measures are taken to make sure that she doesn't pose a risk to the rest of the community, and because she comes back with two young children, is that both she and the children are safe.
Okay, moving to my final topic of today. Now, you announced there will be a tranche of funding for science research up and down the country. What is this about?
So the Health Research Council they allocate roughly $120 million a year for health research. So the first tranche that we announced this week is roughly about $68 million worth of research funding. There are a lot of projects and programs being supported. for these grants can be up to $5 million for particular programs and a smaller sort of cap on specific discrete research projects. A proportion of it has to go into Māori and Pacific health research because we know that there are two population groups who have had historical sort of inequities in terms of health care and health outcomes. So there's a lot more research and scholarship going into understanding, you know, the sources of those inequities, what can be done in terms of treatment and access to improve health outcomes for those two population groups.
You said those research projects for Māori and Pacific Health are based on Māori and Pacifica research methodologies. Then recently the several science professors at the University of Auckland published a letter to the Listener magazine saying Maturanga Māori is not a science. What do you think of that?
It strikes me as very ignorant. I mean, my understanding of Maturanga Māori is that it draws on a whole range of disciplines and it draws on, you know, basic science observations, but actually puts kind of the physical world, including chemical, biological and other, in a context as well of people's kind of lived experience. We know that when it comes to health initiatives and a general sense of well-being for Māori, it's not just important to get the physical responses right, you know, the appropriate medicines, the appropriate treatment, the appropriate procedures, but actually it's making sure that whānau are involved and engaged, and for people's recovery and rehabilitation, that there is a community response, a whānau response to that, so that people have a greater sense of well-being. So, and that draws on Maturanga Māori, the knowledge that Māori have of themselves. They will draw on a degree of spirituality as well, but that is not exclusive to those other, you might say, more hard science disciplines that in Western science and medicine we typically look to.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.